Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. When it comes to growing your business and putting in the work, there are a lot of exciting moments, but there are also some moments where we can have a lot of anxiety and feel a sense of overwhelm with all the different things that we have to do. So this is just part of what it means to pursue our craft and do meaningful work. But just because anxiety and overwhelm seem to be a part of it, that doesn't mean we have to fall victim to them. And we can actually relieve ourselves of anxiety and overwhelm, even in high-stake environments. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Today's guest is a startup growth strategist and mentor to high-performing founders and visionary leaders. She helps founders grow or scale their company with confidence and peace of mind. She is also the creator of Founders Haven, the first resource of its kind that helps high-performing founders stay connected to their greatest potential while helping alleviate the immense pressure that comes along with being the creator of a high-growth company. Today's guest for episode 164 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Molly Montgomery. Molly, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you, Mark.
Molly, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. And before we dive deep into relieving that anxiety and overwhelm that seemed to form, like for some entrepreneurs, like they constantly feel that. But before we get into that topic, I want to get some background stories. So when did you first become a startup growth strategist? Can you talk about that journey which led you in that path?
Oh, certainly. So I spent about 12 years in the corporate world, working in public accounting, working for large accounting firms, doing a lot of forensic and litigation work and mergers and acquisitions and due diligence and that sort of thing. And so in that experience of working in that career, I saw a lot of companies when it was at the end of the process, when they were trying to get something done, there was a sale that was happening, or something horribly went wrong. There was litigation we were dealing with, helping them get through, doing some fraud investigations, that sort of thing. Just seeing how horribly wrong things can go and being the person that would come that late in the game to be pointing out, okay, here's the journey that you've been on for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and you've been putting your heart and soul into building and growing this company. Now you're trying to truly realize your dream of selling or whatever that vision ultimately is, taking it public, pointing out all the things that have gone wrong. I really did not enjoy being that person that was coming in that late in the game. So I started to, I through that whole career path, I always had this desire to be doing something that I wanted to find what I was passionate about. I wanted to find something that felt really, truly fulfilling to me. And it didn't really match up with the work that I was doing. So just part of my own personal journey of trying to figure out what is my passion? What am I ultimately here for? What can I contribute? What value can I create in the world? And how can I leverage the skills and the experience of everything that I've done up to this point? I ultimately started to see that need, that desire for resources and guidance and helping companies, startups, just so much earlier on in their growth process before it gets to be too late, where all the damage has been done and not much can be done to help salvage their company. So I had the entrepreneurial itch and started to kind of contemplate, well, what if I were to go out and start my own business, what would that be? And a couple things just kind of started to cross over, and I figured out where everything intersected. And that's when I started to help high growth, work with high growth companies, high growth startups, and really guiding them through the process of scaling a company.
And thank you for sharing that backstory with us on how you did get started. And one of the things that I feel like we need to do to solve any problem is to in part identify what causes it. So when we talk about anxiety and feeling overwhelmed, I feel like it's really important for us to look deep into ourselves and figure out what's happening to us when we're at that state of anxiety or overwhelm. So what do you believe are some of the reasons why we tend to find ourselves anxious and overwhelmed while doing our work?
Well, from what I've seen, and when it comes to, I mean, anxiety and overwhelm, exactly, there's the, kind of what you're alluding to. There are many different underlying factors that really drive that. And over the, I mean, at this point, I've now been advising companies for, it's been 15 years now, and it's been seeing people going through very critical, trying to make really critical decisions for their company while carrying a significant amount of risk and responsibility. And all that's at play when you have a company, a growing company, you've got employees, you have investors, you have vendors, you have, maybe you have bank loans. I mean, just so many different factors that are weighing down on you, and you are the one that's driving the ship. You're the one that's leading the way. That overwhelm and the anxiety can just, it just, it's this underlying factor that seems to always exist for every founder that I've worked with at some point in their journey. And a lot of times it comes down to, if you think about when you start a company, you're creating something out of nothing. And you initially, whether it's you and a couple, maybe you have a co-founder or a couple co-founders, or you have a founding team of 3, 4, or 5 people, everybody's kind of doing everything when you first get started. And as you start to, as you build, you grow, you get customers, you get revenue, you get traction, hiring more people. As the company starts to grow, it takes on a life of its own, an energy of its own. It's just the momentum. It's this ball of energy that starts to build up around you. You have to master the process of pulling yourself out of that ball of momentum that you've created. And a lot of times the overwhelm and the anxiety is because you're trapped in the middle of all of what you've created around you without pulling yourself out of it and looking at it from an outside oversight, leadership, visionary perspective. And it's a lot of different things of what kind of expectations are you setting for yourself or for the people that you're working with? What kind of expectations have been set that maybe aren't in alignment with what other people have set on their side? What are you doing that you shouldn't still be doing at this point in your in the company's growth cycle that you need to just trying to figure out how to shift out of that role, and whether that means hiring somebody or figuring out, you know, it's not just delegating, but it's also mentally letting go of stuff so that you can trust and rely on the people that you've hired. Just really understanding all that you have on your plate and constantly going through that and figuring out, okay, what can I remove? What can I say no to? How can I reset expectations or change expectations? Who do I need to be in communication with about different aspects of what's going on? And then ultimately coming back to just taking care of yourself, the self-care aspect of you as the founder, as an entrepreneur, of the person who's creating this company. Are you taking care of yourself? Because the stress that builds up through the process of growing a business, if you don't, you've got to learn how to truly master the process. Otherwise, that stress will completely eat away at your energy and your strength. And so then the overwhelm will just take over.
And it's very interesting how you mentioned that we're putting in all this work, we're building the momentum, but then we could feel like we're in the middle of everything that we're doing, and that's part of the reason why a lot of people feel so stressed. They're doing so many different things. They're branching out. They're growing, but they got to manage all that. They got to continue putting in the work so that they stay at the same level and grow at an even higher level. And usually growing at that higher level means even more work in addition to what you're already doing. And I'm a really big advocate for hiring people. That has been one of the best decisions I've ever made. This podcast would not be existent at all if I did not hire people. So that's like how important it is for you to hire people. But I'd like to expand on that a little bit, because some people, they feel like they're all in on the business. And I feel like a lot of people, especially people listening to Breakthrough Success, have this all-in mentality for their businesses. They are really committed to what they're doing. But how do we get comfortable with gradually like taking that step out to seek a bigger perspective and not seem to be in every single process or every single task or step within our businesses?
I think of the first thing that's important to kind of get clarity on is really try to understand what it is that you are creating, what it is that you're creating, and what is the end goal as far as the vision of the company itself. So you can get caught up in this whole process of just, okay, got to generate revenue. But what you, as the person who has the vision of you're creating the company, do you have something in mind for 5, 10, 20 years down the road of what you ultimately want this company to become? Because that is going to be a significant driving factor of what you need to stay focused on in the midst of all of the day-to-day stuff that you get involved in. Are you wanting to grow your company to sell it? Are you wanting to grow it to have more of a lifestyle type of business, to where it's more of a cash flow type of ongoing passion type of business? Are you wanting to truly take it public? What type of vision do you have for the company itself as an asset? Because what you're creating is ultimately an asset in some regard, whatever it is that you're creating. So knowing that and staying connected to that is going to help you pull yourself out of the day-to-day stuff to constantly, you've got to keep checking back in with the path that you're on and what those bigger vision goals are. And then also just know that getting so deep into that grind and that hustle that yeah, it's needed. You definitely need to grind away to get the company off the ground, to get things going, but it's not maintainable at all. That's not something you can sustain for very long. And I see people get so overly burnt out to where their company suffers significantly because they're so caught up in that hustle grind mode. So understanding that it's part of the process, every single entrepreneur, every single business owner that's out there is going through a very similar personal growth journey themselves of how do I master this whole process of being the creator of a company? And put it in your schedule. Set aside, you hear people doing these weekend quarterly retreats or getting out, taking days off, making sure that you're scheduling time to completely disconnect, whether it is once a week or, you know, whatever phase you're in your company, at least try to do it once a week of completely disconnecting from your business and just getting yourself back refreshed, refocused, reconnecting with what it is that you're up to, and then going back in and diving back in from that place. You're so much more effective, so much more productive, so much more at the top of your game when you're doing that for yourself.
I am a really big fan of disconnecting also, because when you disconnect from your company, like on a vacation, like I do virtually no work for my business. Like at the most, I'll just make sure things are going smoothly, but I'm not really creating new content or doing anything like anything that involves a lot of work during a vacation, because that's one of the lifestyle choices I choose, because that's what entrepreneurship gives me. But when I do come back from that vacation or that moment of temporary disconnect, I come back in my work with more vigor. I'm more productive, as you pointed out before. If you have not disconnected, I do encourage you to try just like one day not doing any work for your business. If you feel like you'd still have to do some type of work, just like read books for the entire day, because you'll get a lot of knowledge also. So I do recommend disconnecting. But when we are connected with what we're doing, the work, we're grinding, we're hustling, how can we stay focused in a high stake environment? Because for big companies, like, their high stakes are like pretty public in some cases, but for other people, high stakes could be just trying to pay the bills for their next payment or something like that.
Yeah. It's a process of evaluating, knowing, I mean, of course, the cash flow is one of the most critical aspects. The most important aspect of getting a company off the ground is, okay, well, you've got to have money coming in the door, revenue. What are you doing with the money that is coming in the door? And maybe you don't have enough money to go and you can't actually afford to hire somebody to do the thing that you need to just take off your plate. So you got to just keep doing that thing, but then you can't focus on the other area that would truly grow your business. I mean, you get caught up in all of this back to where the overwhelm and the anxiety kicks in. And it's knowing that, first of all, that's part of what we all sign up for as entrepreneurs, is that's part of the game. Fortunately and unfortunately, I mean, that's truly part of how are we generating revenue for our company, and knowing, having a plan, having a financial plan, both for your company and for your personal finances. Because a lot of times in those early stages, one of the high stakes isn't just down to paying bills for your company. A lot of the personal financial aspect is also driving. There's that's going on in the background. Maybe you do. I mean, if you have family, or if you have, you've got rent to pay, that sort of thing. So as painful as it may feel to have to sit down and do this, setting some kind of spending plan to know, this is the amount of money that I know I need to bring in each month to cover the bills, and kind of chunk it down into different buckets of, okay, baseline, got to pay bills, got to pay overhead. Then, okay, if I want to have an advertising marketing budget, I need to have this much of a margin. And then, okay, if I want to hire somebody to take on A, B, and C, what would, maybe start with outsourcing, figure out what that would cost, and figure out kind of a basic financial plan of how much money you need for those key things to start to take things off of your plate, and just have those as those key milestones that you're setting. And so it's not just revenue that you're constantly just grinding away trying to generate revenue. You've got to have a purpose and an intention behind, once you get that revenue in the door, how is that going to, what are you going to do with that money so that it truly is supporting the growth that you're trying to accomplish? The planning aspect can be so hard in those early years, but a little bit of planning can go such a long way.
With any big thing that I pursue, and I feel like we should all do this, that planning, as Molly mentioned, is really important, because you get an idea of what direction you're going to take and where your project is going to go. Now, with a plan, like, it's most likely not going to go perfectly, but by having that plan, you're definitely a lot more likely to succeed. And not having a financial plan, and as Molly pointed out really nicely, like, the why for, like, what are you going to do basically once you generate the revenue? What are you using that revenue for? Why are you making revenue in the first place? That is very powerful to have that. But do you feel like there's anything else that hold people back from achieving their financial goals?
Oh, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, I think a couple different things. One, a lot of times there's whatever your relationship with money is. I mean, it's so unfortunate to have seen, I mean, I'm a CPA by trade, and I spent a lot of time in conversations with people about money. And one very common conversation that that I often hear and often get into is that that's knowing how to manage our finances and to set financial goals and just everything around money is not something that has been really taught or talked about very much. Growing up, everything that we know about money was really what we learned from whoever it was that we learned it from, whether it's from our family or from our community or just very close knit one or two relationships away from us of what we learned from seeing from other people, money habits and that sort of thing. So you'll hear a lot of people talk about when it comes down to what's stopping you from achieving those financial goals. A lot of times it comes down to that. What is your mindset and your beliefs around money? Because if you have this belief that it is painful and difficult and it's the source of all evil and all these, I mean, there's a lot of really negative energy around it that people carry. Figuring out if that's driving your decisions, if there's fear around money that's driving you, knowing that and finding a different, shifting your mindset around money in general can really start to shift, shift your relationship with money and what you're seeing in your business. And then also, I think back to the whole planning aspect, if you don't have some kind of foundational financial strategy and you truly are basing all of your financial goals around generating revenue and just trying to acquire as much wealth as you can without really understanding, first of all, what wealth actually is, understanding what wealth is, what net worth is, what just all the different aspects of what people are talking about when they're referring to wealth. Without that kind of knowledge and education and understanding how to plan that stuff out, you can get into this vicious cycle of generating revenue and acquiring things that don't actually contribute to wealth and having a disconnected relationship with giving and contributing. So a lot of it really comes down to that and just educating yourself and the knowledge around it and the mindset that you have of what is your relationship with wealth and money.
I mean, mindset is very important for anything that you do, but I also really enjoy, it's really great to think about how you view money because that's going to affect your ability to accumulate money. So if you view money as an evil, that's going to hurt your ability at making more revenue. So a lot of it is based on the mindset, but also your view towards money, which I'm very happy Molly shared that great insight with us. And one of the things that is true about all of us is that we all face challenges throughout our journeys. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
I've had several. I would say a huge challenge that I had early on when I first started, when I left my 12-year career and decided to go off on my own and start my own, just go down this path of entrepreneurship. The company that I first created was a stepping stone more than anything. A stepping stone in my journey. I initially started a consulting business that was based on knowing I was selling services that I was comfortable selling. I basically just created another job for myself doing something that I didn't truly want to be doing, but I knew how to sell those services. And I thought since I was good, it was stuff that I was good at. So I could, it was something that I knew. So I figured, okay, I'll just go and create a business around this. That's what I'll go sell. I'll go hire consultants and I'll oversee these consultants to do this work. And it just, a year into it, I was so overwhelmed and so burnt out, and I was not enjoying it. There were aspects of it that I did really love. I loved my clients. I loved the flexibility that I had with the way I was designing my life, even though I was working an insane amount of hours. But I ultimately got to a place where I realized, if I keep going down this path, I really was at the edge of the cliff. I was not in a good place. So I got to a place where I had to really assess, why am I creating this company? What is it that I ultimately want? Because I'm not enjoying what I'm doing at all. And how can I shift out of this? Because the only other option for me at this point is to go back. I mean, if this isn't going to work, if entrepreneurship isn't going to work, I don't want to go back and get a job. That's not, I've already made the choice to step into this world of creating and creating this entrepreneurial path. So it was a really dark place, because I felt like I was in this, backed into this corner of, I have no other options. Why am I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy what I'm doing. And so it was just, I took a really hard look at, why am I doing this? What do I want to be creating? How is what I am creating not in alignment with what I want to be doing? And then taking massive action to shift it in a different direction. And ultimately that got to just getting really clear on what to say no to, clearing out certain clients that I was working with, of work that I had taken on that I ultimately had to go back and just started to shift and transition out of that work, wrapped up projects that weren't part of the bigger vision that I was creating, and basically getting back to square one of starting over of, okay, let's try this again. So it was a really difficult place to get out of, and it took a lot of work mentally, emotionally, physically, actually, time-wise, time commitment. But yeah, a lot of that inner work, the inner journey of what is it that I'm creating and why, and how can I enjoy it, was a huge part of my journey.
This is just like an example of, like, there are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes. And there's a point where right now, like, you may feel like you haven't achieved the results that you wanted to achieve yet. But if you are able to fully commit to those results and put in your all, you can achieve those results. So similar in Molly's case, where she knew she really didn't want to go back to a job. She wanted to pursue the entrepreneurial spirit all the way. That commitment allowed her to become successful as she is now. And one of the things that I believe will help people on their journeys is to self-educate. And my favorite way of doing that is by reading books. So Molly, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great book recommendations that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yes. So back to the story that I just shared, a book that really helped me, I've read it several times, it's helped me shift into being in this space of doing something that I'm just feel so fulfilled doing it. The book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of it before on the show.
Okay. Fantastic book. So I recommend that one. And then I'd say, back to some money mindset conversations, Outwitting the Devil, originally written by Napoleon Hill, that Sharon Lecter later went back and she's the one that ultimately ended up publishing the book. But that book is an incredible book that helps you tap into your mindset and your relationship with money. And if you've read anything, any of Napoleon Hill's books, this is definitely one of those that you want to make sure that you add to your list. Another one that's not so much entrepreneurial related, but has been a huge life changer for me that I recommend to people all the time, is The Power of Now. That one is a life staple for me. So highly recommend that one as well. Eckhart Tolle. That's a Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Molly, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Those books and the show notes will be over at markgabrotti.com/E164. And if you guys want a book on how to generate more revenue from your content brand, you can also get my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgabrotti.com/book. And before we conclude this episode, Molly, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, that's so, such a good question. I would say constantly checking in and asking yourself, am I happy? Is the life that I'm creating what I want to be creating? Am I ultimately happy? Because we truly are the ones that are creating the life that we're living. And it can be really difficult sometimes to realize the things that we've created that we aren't enjoying and going and fixing and cleaning those things up and truly constantly checking back in with, am I happy?
Molly, thank you for sharing with us that great question. It's always great to ask ourselves that question, because you don't want to be putting in so much work to be happy only to realize that the work isn't making you happy. So it's great to ask yourself that question. And Molly, thank you for sharing all of your insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Molly, head over to foundershaven.com. Sign up for it. She'll be releasing some resources and a focus tool. And that again is foundershaven.com. That will also be in the show notes. Molly, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with everyone in this episode. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mark. I truly enjoyed it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgabrotti.com/retweets.